Welcome to the Simple Walk Podcast. We're Craig and Diane Brown, and in today's episode, we're going to be talking about a very familiar verse. It's likely the first verse that many of us heard and even memorized, but there's so much more to it than the simple words it contains. Join us as we talk about John 3:16 and the importance of Jesus' conversation with Nicodemus the night he spoke that verse. Let's get started. We are going to talk about a very familiar verse. I would venture to guess that, do you think everybody's heard this verse?
I would say it's probably one of the, if not the most quoted verses in the Bible.
Okay. So if we had like a little poll where people could guess what we were going to...
I think they would choose this verse.
I think they probably would.
Mm-hmm.
And it is John 3:16.
Yes.
But in order to talk about John 3:16, we need to put it in context. We need to talk about what was happening before.
Yes, we do.
And in chapter 3 of John, what's happening is Jesus is talking to Nicodemus. It says he was a ruler of the Jews.
Mm-hmm.
And he came to Jesus at night. You know, I imagine it was, you know, down a side street somewhere.
Funny how our mind looks at this, huh?
Exactly.
Uh-huh.
In the context of what we can imagine and what we know. And he was asking him some questions. He said in verse 2, "Rabbi, we know that you are a teacher come from God, for no one can do these signs that you do unless God is with him." And then Jesus says, of course, "Most assuredly, I say to you, unless one is born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God." And this is where Nicodemus gets confused.
Right.
You know, how can a man be born when he's old? Can he enter a second time into his mother's womb and be born? And Jesus goes on.
Yes, he does. Yeah. And, you know, talks about that which is born of the flesh is flesh, and that which is born of the spirit is spirit. And so Nicodemus is kind of like going, "What?"
Yeah, exactly.
So,
and because he does say in verse 9, he says to Jesus, "How can these things be?" And what does Jesus say to him?
He says, "Jesus answered and said to him, are you the teacher of Israel and do not know these things?"
So I think when you're talking about John 3:16, which is a wonderful verse,
it is.
You still have to keep in mind what the setting is and what it is overall that Jesus is talking about here.
It's true, because these next few verses really do lay the foundation of what John 3:16 is all about. In verse 11, it says, "Most assuredly, I say to you, we speak what we know and testify what we have seen, and you do not receive our witness."
And he's talking there about him as part of the Trinity, right? When he
exactly
says we.
Right. Yes.
Yes.
Yes. In some translations, it uses the word I, but I believe right. This is appropriate to say we. In verse 12, it says, "I have told you earthly things and you do not believe. How will you believe if I tell you heavenly things?"
So he's really making Nicodemus think.
He is.
Which means, because it's written here for us, that he really wants us to think.
It's exactly right. Yes.
We have to think about this more deeply than just what one verse says.
It's true. It says in Ephesians chapter 2, verse 4, it says, "But God, who is rich in mercy because of his great love with which he loved us, even when we were dead in trespasses, made us alive together with Christ. By grace you have been saved, and raised us up together and made us sit together in the heavenly places in Christ Jesus." That's kind of similar to what Jesus is talking about here when he says, no one, in verse 13, he says, "No one has ascended to heaven but he who came down from heaven, that is, the Son of Man who is in heaven." So Jesus was in heaven and on earth at the same time because of the Holy Spirit living in him. Heaven was here with him.
Mm-hmm.
So just like we are now in Christ, when we are set apart in him and our life is really committed to Jesus, heaven is with us and we are in heaven.
Well, I mean, even think about the Lord's Prayer, how it says, your kingdom come.
Yes.
Your will be done on earth as it is in heaven.
Exactly right. And that's kind of the point here that Jesus is making known to Nicodemus.
And there's not a separation between earth and heaven when we're living in the Spirit.
That's right. And there lies the are living in the Spirit.
Well, listen to the next verses, because he talks about, you know, from Numbers, the story about Moses. And as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, even so must the Son of Man be lifted up, that whoever believes in him should not perish, but have eternal life. So in order to really understand these verses in John, you have to go to Numbers, and it was in chapter 21. We'll go ahead and start in verse 5 because it gives you a little bit of background.
Yes,
because it's the Israelites. They've been wandering in the wilderness and they are complaining.
Yeah.
Here God has given them manna. He's given them sustenance, right?
Yes, he's taken care of them. He's revealed himself to them.
He puts a pillar of fire at night and a cloud during the day so they know where to go.
Exactly right. Yes. He's always with them. You know, it's amazing because he shows himself, but they were not content and they were not satisfied. So let's
So here in verse 5, they say, and the people spoke against God and against Moses. Why have you brought us up out of Egypt to die in the wilderness? For there is no food and no water, and our soul loathes this worthless bread.
Well, that's pretty intense.
Talking
right?
about the manna.
Yes, what a bad attitude.
So, yeah. So, the Lord sent fiery serpents among the people, and they bit the people, and many of the people of Israel died.
Mm-hmm.
But then there was a solution that God gave them, because he is love.
He is.
Therefore, the people came to Moses and said, we have sinned, for we have spoken against the Lord and against you. Pray to the Lord that he take away the serpents from us. So Moses prayed for the people. Then the Lord said to Moses, make a fiery serpent and set it on a pole, and it shall be so that everyone who is bitten when he looks at it shall live. So Moses made a bronze serpent and put it on a pole. And so it was, if a serpent had bitten anyone, when he looked at the bronze serpent, he lived.
Wow. See, that is such a picture right there.
And that's why Jesus talks about it to Nicodemus.
Yes.
As an example. I think Nicodemus probably really knew and understood the Old Testament, because that's what the rabbis did was, you know,
that's what they did.
Reason and debate about the scriptures, yes, and their interpretation of the scriptures and all of that in the Old Testament.
Mm-hmm. So that's what he was talking about. And so let's go back and let's read verse 14 and 15 with that in mind.
And as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, even so must the Son of Man be lifted up, that whoever believes in him should not perish, but have eternal life.
So what Jesus is actually saying to Nicodemus is that humanity, all of us, have been bitten by the serpent and we are going to die. And if we will commit and lift our and look at him, keep our eyes on him, then we will live. And then what does verse, this is the verse that everybody knows, verse 16.
For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish but have everlasting life.
That word that says, for God so loved the world, sometimes we think that means for God so loved the world. But really what he's saying, for God, in the same way that that serpent was lifted up, he made a way for us to be saved. He so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in him shall not perish, but have everlasting life.
But you have to look at, what does that mean? What does that believes in him mean?
Exactly.
The people, the Israelites, had to look at the serpent, the bronze serpent that was lifted up, they had to put their eyes on that.
Right.
And away from all the stuff, away from all the serpents that were, you know, the venomous snakes that were biting them. And they had to look at the pole.
The salvation.
Yes. Mm-hmm. So this means that we have to
keep our eyes
on Jesus.
Or else you will die. This is the whole point here. And, you know, this interpretation could say, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever truly believes in him should not perish, but have everlasting life.
This isn't something, okay, so those Israelites couldn't have said, they couldn't have turned to their neighbor and said, I believe in that bronze serpent.
Yeah.
Without looking at it. They couldn't just speak it. They couldn't just say it.
That's
they
right.
They had to position their bodies.
Yes.
And their minds and their hearts so that they were focused.
And that was an act of obedience. It was, they were obedient at that moment in time, like Diane's saying. They were focused. They were committed to realizing that God had brought salvation to them, but they had to be obedient and look at that serpent and live. And that is what Jesus was and is for us.
And that is step one.
It is. And to realize that God so loves the world. He loved us. He loves us so much. He laid down his life and gave us a way. It's really important to ask the question, you know, because this verse has been quoted so much, and we have to realize that when a verse is overly used and it's not really understood in context, that sometimes it becomes watered down. And so the reason why I threw the how some interpretations say truly believed is because in Hebrews chapter 4, verse 12, would you mind reading that, Diane?
For the word of God is living and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the division of soul and spirit and of joints and marrow, and is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. And I'm going to read also 13, and there is no creature hidden from his sight, but all things are naked and open to the eyes of him who must give an account.
So Jesus, he has given us this living word of God that we might be transformed. But here comes the where the rubber meets the road. When I say truly believed, we have got to allow the word of God to really dissect us. The Bible says there, it says, the word of God is quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing to the dividing of the soul and the spirit. That is where the word of God shines a light inside of us, and we have to allow this to happen inside of us. We're going to see some stuff that we don't like.
And well, it's like surgery.
Exactly. And we have to surrender our will to his will and allow this transformative process to happen inside of us. But it is not easy. And this is where I believe, kind of like Nicodemus there when Jesus said, you're a teacher and a ruler of the synagogue and you don't even know these things. And he was supposed to be able to understand spiritual things. But this is a spiritual thing that we're talking about right now. And a lot of times, unless you're willing to pay the price, you're not going to receive the benefit of the rewards of paying the price. There are so many religions and so many different denominations and so many opinions that what has happened is that people have, I believe, why people create these other things is because they're not willing to pay the price, because the word of God is simple. It really is. And it is only one. It is not divided. There's not supposed to be division within the body of Christ. Behold, Father, that they are one as you and I are one. That's what Jesus prayed to the Father for his body. And so we need to really examine this and say, Lord, please do the work inside of me. Cause me to be dissected in any way possible so that I can have the flesh rooted out of me so that your Holy Spirit lives in me. And so this life which I now live in the flesh, I live by faith in the Son of God who loved me and gave himself up for me. That is so important to just completely commit your life to him, because that is truly believing. The problem is that we don't want to pay the price, but we want to have the illusion of paying the price. And so many people live a life that is, oh yeah, I go to church and I do all these things.
And I'm a Christian.
But when it comes down to it, their attitudes and their actions are still mean-spirited sometimes. They don't treat their families the way they should. They're not getting the results in their business sometimes that they're hoping for, because their attitude and the wisdom that's coming out of them is not lined up with Christ. He is wise. The Bible said he alone is wise. He's the one that can bring salvation to your life in every aspect of your life. But we have got to surrender to him and let him be Lord so that he can do this work through us.
So right after John 3:16-17 says, "For God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. He who believes in him is not condemned, but he who does not believe is condemned already, because he has not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God."
If you could keep reading, it just explains everything we were just talking about.
"And this is the condemnation, that the light has come into the world, and men love the darkness rather than light, because their deeds were evil. For everyone practicing evil hates the light and does not come to the light, lest his deeds should be exposed. But he who does the truth comes to the light, that his deeds may be clearly seen that they have been done in God."
That is so cool, because what that's saying is just what we were just talking about. They're going to shine the light of Christ because they have been transformed. They have allowed the process of the Word of God going in and piercing to the dividing of the soul and the spirit and of the bones and the marrow and the thoughts and the intents of the heart. Everything gets lined up with the truth and wisdom and righteousness, and it becomes evident to the world around us. But if you don't allow the process to go on inside of us, if we aren't willing to lay our life down for him, then we're going to be like those that it was just talking about. And this is the condemnation, that the light has come into the world and men loved darkness rather than light because their deeds were evil. So that is the point. Either you allow the process of God to do the restoration within your soul, or you don't. And if you don't, what you're saying is that I have something going on inside of me I don't want to let go of. I don't want to surrender it to God. It's mine and you can't have it. And so then, you know what? You will take it to the grave. And just like those people in the wilderness, when they didn't look at that serpent that was lifted up there for them to look at, they died. And that's what God is saying here in this passage. It's so simple. It really is.
So what's the solution?
Well, it is so simple. It is so beautiful. Because if you go back to John 3:16, God so loved the world. He loves us. He loves us so much that he's made a way for us to be healed, to be whole, to be complete.
To walk in peace.
To walk in peace and joy. You know, all of these things are so available to each one of us, but we have got to just look at this with real eyes. Don't let the enemy deceive you. Don't let him tell you you've got something inside of you that you want to hold on to, because really you don't. You want to give your life to Christ. You want to let him have everything you have. He will lie. He wants to steal and kill and destroy any potential of you becoming a child of the King. I mean, totally becoming a child of the King. You might know that God's there and you might have quoted this verse and kind of it's gone by really fast and you've not really understood the depths of it. But God wants you to deal with your insides. Let him have them too, so that you can shine the light of his glory to the world around you. It's really a beautiful thing, and it's exciting. Get on board with this mission in life of being an ambassador for Jesus. That's really what he's after. He needs us completely to be set apart for him. And it is so cool and exciting. It's not easy in our culture, but we've got to fight the good fight, the Bible says. So we just thought this was an important topic. It'd been kind of on our hearts, and we just thought we would share it with you today. We love you so much. We pray that God will just richly bless your lives and that he will become alive to you in greater ways every day, just like he is with us, and that we will grow hold together in Christ forever and ever. And we thank you so much for being with us.
And we'll see you on the next episode.